And our topic is change and transition, as I mentioned earlier. Our text tonight is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to read verse 1, and then we're going to go skip on over to verse 11. So, for everything, there is a season, for a time, for every activity under heaven. Verse 11 of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Yet God has made everything beautiful in its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So the message I'd like to propose to you tonight is understanding the seasons in our lives will help us to adapt. Help us to adapt to change. When you know what season you're in, it's easy to make the comfort of change by your adaption and changing your mindset, allowing information to flow freely and trying to understand things. It's not always easy. So as an introduction, let us say these things. First of all, change is inevitable. You cannot stop change. You can try everything you can to, you know, fix your hair and whatever, you know. Your hair will eventually get white, ladies. And some of you stopped curling, you know, some of you stopped coloring your hair. And there's a few years ago, there's a lady on our newscast that decided not to. And I'm not sure why, if she got fired because of it. But anyway, they want young people on TV. So we must expect it. And we must adapt to it. We must prepare for it. Facing anything in life, you know, for facing anything in life, change can be less stressful if we are not resistant, if we are inflexible. If you try to resist change and know I'm going to be this way, I've always been this way, you're going to find that you're going to have a hard time if you don't, you know, you need to flow with it. If you're inflexible, remember the saying that the blessed are those are flexible or someday they'll not be bent out of shape. It is a known fact that when children are prepared and supported by growing into adolescence, life can be more enjoyable as we train our children for the next stage and each phase of our lives. And many of us have gone through it. I've gone through it myself as a young man, as a young boy. My mom told me, Roma, come here. We're going to iron this shirt because someday you'll have to do this on your own. You have to adapt to being alone. You know, there's a time when you're alone, you're single perhaps, and you're waiting for that husband or wife. And there's some times that you've got to learn to wait. And so each phase of our maturity can be challenging. But change does not have to be so overwhelming. Our world is changing rapidly. And we have to constantly adapt to it. If you look around, even in this unseen world, things are moving. Things are changing. It's challenging when our standards and our values and our thinking gets challenged. And, you know, nations and large corporations and various organizations have to adapt to change regularly to stay current, to stay up to date. And with the fluctuating economy, am I starting to sound like a president or something? with all this stuff going on, you know, maybe I'm watching CNN too much, I don't know. I don't really actually watch too much news, but I watch what I need to. So people everywhere have to comply to different things like financial things that's going on, markets that's changing. Maybe you have to, if you're somebody who's investing in your money in something, and you know, you have to talk to your financial advisors and make those changes if you want to. I know during the COVID season, people were losing money. I noticed my money is just going down. you get afraid. You might lose everything. On the spiritual front, besides the spiritual and natural life, we have to be sensitive to make changes as God deals with our hearts. Has God been dealing with your heart? And we must all adapt to the required changes that God is preparing us for. Like any other business, churches, and Christian organizations, there's challenges to making those changes, staying updated to the times. We know the Word of God will never change, but the laws of society and the way people handle things, and even some things in church, you know, change. Maybe worship style change, maybe our attire change. Right now, I wouldn't be dressed like this. I'd have to be wearing a suit. 25 years ago, I'd be wearing a suit. And before COVID, I wore a little bit more dressier. But now I'm okay. I could dress like that because the world has changed and I'm adapting to it. And I look strange wearing a three-piece suit. And I don't want to look like Pee Wee Herman. And I'm looking out of style here. But I think my editor could take out that Pee Wee Herman. Sometimes we need to tweak our vision. And we need to tweak our strategy. And perhaps our leadership styles, our leadership methods. Because people change and they expect a little bit something different to accommodate for growth. I know we try to be flexible with different things, you know, and there's some things you can negotiate that stays within the realm of the Word of God and the standards of God's Word, but there's some things you can change. And sometimes we come to church with an attitude of the world and we try to make the church like we do in the world. But the world of the church is theocratic. That is, how this runs is by God's laws, not by man's laws. And so we have to look to that. So understand the season in your life. Where are you in your stage? I was telling my wife, you know, we've been having a hard time. And I was looking at it. I didn't really tell her. I was just, you know, looking at. We always evaluate things, you know. Because, you know, I'm a great grandpa. And, my grandson once brought the little boy over. The little girl, excuse me. He's a grandson, and of course, he brought the group. And, you know, things change. People's lives change. I was a grandpa, and I was a dad when I was a dad. That's another change. When you're a single man to getting married, now you're not alone anymore. You have to adapt to living with somebody and share a bed, and different things like that. No longer a student. Now you can do whatever. Now the whole thing has gone backwards now. You know, I was thinking about the empty nest syndrome. How many of you experienced the empty nest syndrome? There's a few of you. I noticed some of you are hard to leave the nest over. You got all kinds of grandkids over. You're trying to borrow kids. So life is easier when we know what season we're coming to. We can adapt and make changes. Change your attitude, change our times. You know, we have four seasons in this north. I was just looking at my wife where we, I went to look for tires on my our van, and I went to look at these new tires. I said, price me four tires. And they priced me four tires. I said, well, give me some new rims. And don't give me those cheap ones. I don't want those cheap ones. Give me something good. And they gave me all these prices, and so I'm single now. I don't have to have all these kids to pay stuff with and school and whatever. I can buy a little bit more with my money. So there's nothing good about being caught off guard with change, with transition. And all of a sudden you're old and didn't realize that you're old. You know, you can't just move around as quickly as you should. And maybe you put on a little extra weight for no reason. Your body doesn't eat up as those calories like it used to. I watch, you know, some of the young guys around here, you know, and they can eat, you know. Like Joe, he comes and eats. He'll just eat, a ton of stuff. And he never gets any bigger, any fatter. So there's nothing that caught off. It's not good to get caught off guard. People who know what season their lives are in have a much easier time when they can anticipate there's going to be a change. I know. I see around here. I was talking to our young pastors, our director of children's ministry, and our young director of operations of youth. And they got new jobs, they're brand new and married, brand new marriage, brand new baby, brand new careers, brand new ministry, everything's brand new car, brand new house. I mean, there's so much good changes all at once, you know. But, you know, the thing about it, these guys are well ahead of game, and they're all ready to go. Notice over here in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, the New Living Translation. From the tribe of Issachar, there were 200 leaders of the tribe of their relatives. All these men understood the signs of the times and knew the best course for Israel to take. So when you know your season, you know how to prepare yourself. Bit more. We're talking about the other day, somehow we always talk about our age and different things like our weight and whatever and styles and whatever. It's easier to talk that way and you can adapt. What if you're still wearing hippie clothes? You look pretty odd, you know? And you don't come into church on a Wednesday night going to a ball. You have to change a little bit. So that's pretty obvious. But there's some things you don't realize right away. You know, let's look at here just a quote I wanted to. I have two quotes here. One was by the name of Babe Ruth. Does anybody know who I'm talking about when I say Babe Ruth? How many of you guys don't know what I'm talking about? Let me see here. You don't know what you're talking about. So everybody here knows Babe Ruth. If you don't, just Google him right away. You'll understand who he is. Babe Ruth said this, never fear striking out. Never let fear of striking out get you out of the way or get you in the way. This man, you know, he was a home run king. But when they looked at it statistically, he struck out more times than he made home runs. So as you go along the way, you might have more failures than you do success. So this man obviously wasn't afraid to strike out, but he got a lot of balls over the fence. There's a man by the name of Dr. Martin Luther King. My wife and I was able to go to the place where he was assassinated. That was in Little Rock, was it? Or was it in Memphis? Memphis. So we stopped in Memphis this year. And we came up to the this whole history of, I'm not sure what it was, but it's some kind of historical thing. But they have this hotel that he where he was shot, and everything else all the same the way it was, and the car, and everything the same thing. Of course, they fixed it up a little bit. And this man by the name of Dr. Martin Luther King, he said the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands in times of challenge and controversy. You know, it's easy to stand when there's controversy and you know the season in your life. You know the answer when everybody else is scrambling and getting mixed up because of what everybody else is saying. But you know your season. You know, I think about this. People are afraid of last days and Antichrist and what's going to happen now, you know, with the U.S. and all that stuff, with Russia and Korea and Ukraine and, you know, what's going to happen in the world. Well, the Lord's going to be the Lord still. And what's going to happen to the economy? The economy will just be okay. Because the Lord is going to help you. You know, so we stay the same. And so don't be afraid of that. So Dr. Martin King was a leader in the most challenging times of life in this world. And so he had principles. And he knew what his calling was. He knew what God wanted him to do. God sent him not only in the church, but into the world to make a mark. And a lot of things are happening today because of a man like that. He left a mark, a legacy for all of us to follow. And he was in the move. He knew his time. So all of us need to understand where we are. I had two pastors come to my office this week and ask me about different things. I had another pastor call me from out of town today about some things, you know. People are looking for reassurance. And I always go back to, what did God call me to do? What did he say to do here in Thunder Bay? And there's so many times you could quit, you know, and get mad at people. But people's not your trouble. The devil is your trouble. And so we need to take authority and stand our ground, because in the seasons of life, you know where you're supposed to be standing. Because the Lord always got to me to the place, asked me, you know, what I ask you to do, and do what I tell you to do, and don't just mind your own business and smile about it and tell people you enjoy everything. And that's not always easy, right? Because you don't always enjoy everything, but by faith we do it. You know, Jesus, he was always with the times. And he was always on time. And he was a man who knew his season. He knew his life. He knew the proper season to act or not to act, when to do something or not do something. You can't always allow people to influence you as to what you're supposed to do and where you're supposed to be. I have one minister. He was saying, oh, I'm not going to do this because the people don't want it. Am I supposed to do this ministry? Am I supposed to do that? Should I hold this meeting? And another guy says, I don't know if I should let this ministry go and do this or travel. Should I be a pastor? You know, we need to know where we're supposed to be. Yeah. And stop. If we know where we're supposed to be in the first place, I was taught this. When you forget where you're supposed to, what you're supposed to be doing, go back to the last thing you did. And just start from there. Just like when you forgot, I told my wife I forgot my phone before I got here. And I had to go back and look for my phone, take my shoes off, run upstairs, look around everywhere. You know? And you backtrack where you put your phone. Or where, you know, it's the same thing in life. If you're lost spiritually, go back to what God told you to do last time. And people are asking questions about different things fitting into ministry or whatever. I said, you know, just get I was taught, Brother Higgin taught me, he says, go put yourself to work. If God wants you, he'll find you. He's not stupid. He knows where you are. And just get busy. You know, I was thinking about a little feller. I told him he was dancing here 10 years ago. And I videotaped him purposely. He didn't know. He's dancing here. This thing was, everything was bare. And I'm back there, and the men were working. Of course, I was watching, supervising. And they were there, and he's dancing away. I said, you know, little fella, I got a picture of you dancing here today. I said, you need to go and do the same thing 10 years later, make the same video. He said, no. But, he's come to work with his parents today because of school. He said, it's parents, take your kids to work time this week. So he come in and work, and he's working. He did a really good job. And he's working out, cleaning. He's all over the place, and he's sweating away. And I just like the fact that this guy, his parents are teaching him to work in the church. He grew up in church. I had to put up with his throwing up and smells and all that. When he says he was a baby, now he's a big boy. But it's a transition. You know, if we just get ourselves where we're supposed to be, if you don't know what to do, you come to church. I will tell you what to do. And then the Lord will tell you what to do. And so if you're lost, you don't know what to do, I will tell you what to do. And then you'll find out very quickly to hear from God. And so it's important that we find out. Okay, so Jesus, well, he knew the proper seasons. He knew when to act. And then sometimes, you know, when you don't know what to do, people can make you feel silly or dumb because you don't know what to do next. But, sometimes people want you to do what they want you to do. And so you get caught up and run with them, run with their plan. I was told that find out what God wants you to do and run your own race. Because the Bible says we run our own race. Now, that doesn't mean we have to, just be a lone ranger. But this, you just start to, you have to run what God wants you to do or be where you're supposed to be. So in John chapter 7, verse 6 and 8, the Lord said something that's very interesting and very, very encouraging for anybody to remain constant. Jesus said over here in John chapter 7, verse 6 to 8, Jesus replied, he said, it is not the right time for me to go, but you can go anytime. He's telling everybody, those disciples, the world can't hate you, but it does hate me because I accuse it of doing evil. You go on. I'm not going to the festival because my time has not come yet. So he knew exactly what he should do with activities and different things. He knew where he was supposed to be. So I believe that, he showed us how to behave, what to do. Don't let people push you into things in your season because somebody might have influence over you. But you need to know when you're supposed to act. So he said, my time has not yet come. Over in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 18, Jesus sent his disciples ahead of him to make ready for his time and the season. And we also take note and be ready knowing our own season like Jesus. He said this in Matthew 26, verse 18. I'm reading the New Living. He says, as you go to the city, he told them, you will see a certain man. Tell him, the teacher says, my time has come. I will eat the Passover. He knew a significant moment in history, a spiritual time in his life where he must die. He said, I must eat the Passover meal with my disciples at your house. So Matthew 26, 18. Jesus also said, he said, my time is at hand. He knew the right time to act. Over in verse 45 of that same chapter, he says, my time has come. And over in verse 45, he says, of Matthew 26, he came to his disciples and he said, go ahead and sleep, have your rest, but look, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. So, you know, it's easy to know if God told you to do something and it's a hard time coming. You know you got to go through it because you know God's going to be there with you. Can you say amen? Because when you know where you're supposed to be and it's a hard struggle go ahead of you, you know there's tough struggles, you need to stand strong because if God said to do something, you need to be there. And you know God, you're going to make it through, even if it's tough. So I know in my tough seasons in ministry and life, when I'm going through a hard time as a man, as a dad, as a husband, when I'm going through a hard time as a family member, and my family is going through a hard time, and the devil will try to take me out and destroy my confidence and destroy my my energy to serve him, to be inconsistent here and to be inconsistent with the leadership and just stay home and cry and put on Facebook that I'm suffering. No, the Lord says, you go ahead and act like it's so. Act like I'm here. Act like you're supposed to be where you're supposed to be. It's easy to quit. It's easy to stay home. Easy to keep your money in your pocket when you're supposed to be giving. Those are easy things to do. But if we want to survive, we've got to face you know, the fact that we're going through different seasons and there's different seasons. You'll not ever have a soft time in life. Everybody needs to understand that. We're all going to go through tough situations. You might not like it, but, you know, hey, listen, God's going to be there for you. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, I said, you know, God says in Isaiah, he says, my hand is not so short that it can't reach you and come in your situation. There's no person too far or too difficult in life. Jesus had his life in a sequence, in steps, at the right moment, what he was doing. Paul said about the Lord in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6, Paul said in his letter to his protege, young Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6, he said he gave his life to purchase freedom for everybody or everyone. This is the message that God gave to the world at the right time. At the right time, God sent Jesus at the right time. It wasn't too early, wasn't too late. It's at the right time. And some of us are asking God questions. Why, God? Why is it taking so long? Why is my child doing this? Why is my wife? Why is my husband doing that? Like, what's going on? Why is my ministry not coming in? Why is that coming? You know, you got to trust. You know, they say this, you know, trust the process. You ever hear people say that? Well, we got to trust the Lord. I got up this morning, I heard the Lord say this to my spirit, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy understanding. And always acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Out of my spirit. I was praying yesterday, walking through the bush. The Lord said, I'm praying. I said, you know, I prayed about things in the spirit. I've been praying in the Holy Spirit for some things 10 years and I haven't seen any change in it yet. I said, when's it going to be the change? He said, you better watch it. No, he didn't say that. You know, the Lord says, I'll tell you what he said after. So Jesus gave himself as a ransom at a proper time. You know, sometimes you might have to give yourself over to a hard situation because you need to go through it. You know, God, you learn lessons in hard times. Brother Higgins told us this. He said, you'll probably remember the lessons more in a hard time than you do in an easy time. And you learn more in the hard time. He said even Jesus, through his obedience, learned the things when he suffered. That's found in Hebrews chapter 8, I think, somewhere on there, or verse 6 or somewhere on there. Find it. You can find it. And the Lord said this to me, and I got this today. He says, the Lord's ways are always perfect. And we question God with our finite mentality, our knowledge. We question God's timing. Why is this happening? Why, you know, my kids should be doing this. My husband should be here. My job should be doing this. I should be far away. Don't people recognize me? I'm such a wonderful follower of God. And you're looking at the magnificence. You know, I was talking to some ministers, and I talk to a lot of ministers. They call, and sometimes they want a fellowship, and, you know, they want something. They want encouragement, they want prayer. And, you know, it's good to have fellowship. I had one fellow call me all the way from northern Alberta, and we had such a wonderful time fellowshipping over the years. We've been in ministry together for years and years, and something happened where he's out of ministry, him and his wife right now, and they're waiting for the next calling. And he's in a season where it seems like nothing is changing, nothing is moving. That's one of the hardest things, to stay patient when you think you should be well ahead of time. But in the meantime, you prepare yourself. Now, you might not have trouble right now. You just prepare yourself to be strong, but when it comes, you're going to be ready for it. You might have money in your pocket right now and lots in the bank, but you be prepared for it. And you sow seed now so that when the time hits, you know God's going to be there for you because you were there for him. And those people, when you had plenty, didn't have any much. You know, sometimes people give me money. I had somebody give me $500 yesterday. And they said, I want to bless you with $500. I said, is that good? I said, you go ahead. I'll receive right now. Well, why did you receive $500? Because that's what I give away to in my time. And the Lord, you know, said to me, you know, people say, well, you don't deserve it. Well, God seems to think so. I didn't ask for any money. I don't go around asking for money. We don't go on television. Somebody told me that the other day. He said, you don't go on television and begging people for money. So we don't. The day we do that, we shut her down. Because if God said to do something, you do it. Amen? The Lord said to me, stop making those cakes and chicken sandwiches and just go ahead and believe. And if I do what I tell you to do. And the Lord brought something in. So anyway, thank God. You know, I appreciate, you know, if you've given me money, thank you very much. I do appreciate it. And I pray for you every day, too, to get your money. Because I sow seed, my wife and I, we tithe, you know. And then we double our tithe. And I'm living comfortable. I mean, you got to believe, I'm going to be 70 pretty soon. Just a few years. And if you live that long, you should have something. I talked to one person, he don't have anything. You're not never prepared in this season. So you be prepared. And so I got extra socks, and thank God. Paul said to the Galatians, everybody say, God's timing is the best timing. Galatians 4:4, here's what Paul said. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. In the fullness of time, or in the right season, God sent forth his son. In the fullness of time, God will send you the right answer. In the right season, the right time. But until then, you go ahead and smile. And you come to church and you serve, if it's out of season or in season. If you make a decision to follow God and God brought you here, you stay here. You know, when I went to Rhema, and there was lots of churches around Rhema, you can pick any kind of church you want to go to. And I was thinking, oh, I go to this church, I go to that church, I go over here Friday night, oh, I go here Thursday, I'm going to go here Wednesday, go hear this preacher. Lord said to me, hey, listen, I sent you to Rhema, you go ahead and work with those children. I worked with children's ministry, sat on the floor with kids and moved kids around with buggies, and hold children at night and pat them on the back and take care of the children. And I went to the children's ministry, prayed with the prayer groups, and I went to work in different areas, healing school, become an usher, work at altar ministry, just do whatever I could do in ministry. Serve wherever I can serve. I wanted to learn whatever I could learn. And made it my home church, and I told my wife last night, and I listened to Pastor Higgin on Sunday night. I go home, sometimes right after church on Sunday, I'll listen to Pastor Higgin. And I get so much out of listening to him. He refreshes my spirit, my soul, and it gives me the answers I need for that season. No matter what he preaches on, I always get an answer from him, from God through him. So no matter what I'm preaching, if you come here in faith, God will always talk to you and answer your question and give you help and strengthen you. So in the fullness of time, at the right season, God sent his son Jesus in the right season. In the fullness of time, you know, you need to be faithful to God. And no matter what happens around you, even if you don't see the answer right now, it doesn't seem like your prayer is being answered, doesn't seem like your sowing is not being answered, you stay faithful. God is faithful to his word. Here are some reasons we resist change. I've got to do that in 8 minutes. Number one is fear. Why resist change? Fear. People have all sorts of fears, and it stops them from acting on what they should act on. Many have unknown fears, and they think, what would happen if I do this, or what if I do that? What if I fail? What if I do this, and what if somebody comes against me? What if my wife leaves me? What if my girlfriend leaves me? What if I do? And they have all these fears. They're insecure about their decisions they've made. So many have these unknowns, and it stops them, you know, from the changes that they have to make. Many people have the fear of failure. They'll not act in the right season. They'll miss out on the blessings of God. I was telling the students last night, I said that when I went to Kenora, God got me to a place where he could speak to me. And no one asked me to do it. I started tithing in 1981. And, you know, everybody has to find their own faith. My parents didn't pass down their faith to me. My dad didn't ever pray with me. My mom didn't. I guess they prayed for me, I guess. But I don't know if God answers people. But I never sat in church with my parents, my grandparents. And the Lord took me to Kenora. And I had so much trouble as a young man who was in addictions. And financial failure followed me everywhere. Poverty followed me everywhere because it was in my family and in my whole community. Suffered with that. And so the Lord took me to this thing about breaking the curse of the law in my own life. And so the Lord talked to me about it. I was sitting in church. The pastor said, he never taught on it. He never taught anything on it. It said Malachi 3, you know, and 10, you know, bring all the tithes, so on. And I started listening to that. And I went on my knees. I said, God, this is what you said. If I don't pay these things, you're going to take me to court, and I'm going to go to jail. I owed a number of things, and I said, you said this over here, so I'm going to kneel down here, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to start giving now. You said this. And within a short while, I was out of debt of thousands of dollars. That was my experience. And I kept going and going. And one day I was still in the same place. I went to a function where Huntley Street was at a local high school there in Kenora. And I went there and I looked at all the wonderful products back there, music and CDs and so on. And I said, I'm going to get this after the church. I had a roll of money in my pocket, dollars, bunch of them, and I had change on this side. The offering come along, and said, I'll give my change here. The Lord checked me. He said, you give your best. What's your best, your change or your dollars, your bills? So I took my bills. You know, took the bill, put it in there. And I watched that usher take my money away from me. Walk all around until he disappeared. And so I said, man, I was going to buy those. Lord, you know I'm alone in this city. I wanted to get those teaching tapes and music and so on. So after the service, I went back. After I got myself together, And a guy came back, he says to me, he saw me looking at those. A Christian man came by. He said, do you like those things? I said, yeah. He said, go ahead and grab one there. So I grabbed a nice, you know, plastic wrap CD, brand new, shiny, calling to my name. So I took one. And he said to me, you know what? Go ahead and take another one. So I took another one. And I started learning about giving, learning to follow the Spirit, learning to follow my heart. And the Lord led me in other areas, of course, about praying for the sick and so on. And I was all alone as a young man. And I really wanted to follow the Lord. And I started learning how to follow God by finances. That's the only way I knew. You know what? God wants to lead you financially. He wants to lead you in every way. And he'll teach you. The first way he'll teach you is through your finances. Because your money and you are so tied to living that he wants you to trust him. Yes. Amen? So that's just my story. You got your own story. So the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of a sound mind. So learn that you don't have a spirit of fear. You got a spirit of power. You got a spirit of authority. And you don't have to let fear control your life. We are not born fearful people. Your spirit doesn't have any fear in it. Fear comes from outside. And you have to resist it. Psalm 23 says, I believe it's verse 4, I will fear no evil. I won't. I'm not. I'm never going to fear evil. And the Lord taught me that. I suffered from great anxiety. I go to the hospital for it. And went to see a psychiatrist. I had all these phobias. Because of the trauma I suffered as a kid, being taken away, put in the homes, and, you know, locked away. And I was crying there as a little boy, wondering where my parents are, wondering where if anybody knows I'm here. I'd be crying in there. I go to the washroom, and nobody came. Nobody came to visit me. And being, 5, 6 years old, and nobody comfort you at night, they said, get out, Roma, go upstairs. And I learned something from that. I learned God is your comforter. Amen. Amen. And so, you know, I learned that. I'm not telling you that to feel sorry for me, but that's my experience. So we're not born with fear. And you can overcome any kind of tragedy in your life. Any kind of tragedy. God is ready to get you through any kind of change right now. He will help you and support you in any troubled time. The psalmist said in Psalm 46:2, God is our refuge and God is our strength, always ready to help you in times of trouble, so we will not fear when earthquakes come, mountains crumble into the sea. We are not born with a spirit of fear. God says, no matter what's going on around your life, do not fear. Do not. What don't you understand about do not fear? You know? God says, don't fear. Some of you are afraid. Oh, I'll run out of money. I'm going to run out of money. I'm not going to have this. I'm not going to have that. No. No. You trust the Lord. And he'll help you. And so he will do it. He's not going to leave you high and dry. Circumstances change, but God will not change. He will always be there for you in your transition time. God is there when you are in a deep trouble. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 43, 1 and 2, but now Jacob, listen to me, or listen to the Lord you who created you, Israel. The one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you go through the deep waters, I'll be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. When the flames will not consume you. Hallelujah. That's strong message. When you go through hard times, stressful times, difficult times, family times, financial difficulties, God says, I'm going to be with you in the transition. When you don't believe me, when you don't have anything, when the time you got something. You know, there's times when the Lord gave me money. I didn't have any money. I was believing God for money. I believe God, Lord, praise God. Would you give me money? Would you give me 2,000? Lord said to me one time, praise God, I would just give it to you. I told you that story many times. He said to me, write a check for $1,000. I wrote a check for $1,000. That's when we had checks. He said, okay, write another one and write it for your wife. So he said, you claim that money right now? And I claimed it in the name of Jesus. In a few weeks, not too long ago, several weeks later, a nice check came, a nice big fat one. You know? And I said, oh man, I got that money. Now I can buy this, I can buy that, you know? This is a few years ago when 2000 was 2000. And then I think it was $2,600 or something. The Lord says to me, wait a minute. You can't buy that. You said you'd give it to me. You're supposed to sow 1,000 each for you and your wife. And I did. I kept my, you know, the Bible says a man of God, a woman of God will keep his promise even when it hurts them, even when it costs them. Costs you time, money. You keep your promise. And when you do that, you know what? God is going to be there to keep his promise when you go through the hard times. So the second one, why people don't change, and why they have transition troubles is that number two is the comfort, love of comfort. And my wife, I'll talk to my wife tonight. And change is too stressful. She always tells me, my wife says, oh, you know, I love my comforts. I just love my comforts. Did you see my slippers? You know, we all love comforts, right? I'm sure you probably thought about that tonight before you came. And so God is a God of comfort in every season of your life, in every trying time. God will assess you through any season to change. The Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 1:3, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of merciful Father, the source of all comfort. He comforts us in our troubles, in all our troubles, so that we can comfort others when we are troubled. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. So our God is the God of all comfort. And Paul said that to these Thessalonians during the difficult hour, they had a really hard time. They were being really persecuted. Just like the rest of them over there, those Hebrew Christians. They were so persecuted and going through such difficult, hard times. God says, we have a God of all comfort. You may be going through an experience right now, a very hard time. Nobody might not even know it. The experience that you're going through and the emotional pain you're going through and the stressful time you have, maybe you're going to bed at night thinking about it. But I want you to know that God is there with you. Amen. He's right in that blanket underneath there talking to you. Amen? 2 Thessalonians 2:16 and 17, may the Lord our Jesus Christ himself, the God our Father, who loved us by his grace, gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, comfort you and strengthen you in every good thing that you do and say. He's the God of comfort. He will strengthen your heart tonight. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Thank you, Lord God. He says in the Amplified, God infuses me with inner strength. He said, I am sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. He said, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything. You need to know that. You know, don't ever say this. Oh, if this happens again, I can never go through it. Don't say that. Amen. Oh, what if it happens again? You know, what if Trump wins again? Oh, and he's won again. Did you know there's a guy by the name of a prophet? I heard him before. He prophesied about this election, and I heard him myself way back there. He said, this is how it's going to happen. And you listen to it. You'd be amazed with God. You know, it's nothing, God can move in any situation. No matter who the leader is, God will move through a leader when we pray. He'll move the heart of a leader and make changes. So I have strength for all things. So I have strength. Third thing. Praise God. We're at the end almost here. A few seconds more. There's a price for change. G.W. Hegel said this, to be independent of public opinion, the first condition of achieving anything is to be independent. So if you refuse to take up your cross, Jesus said, and follow me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. If you give up your life for my sake, you'll find it. Matthew chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. We pay a price for anything worth changing in our lives. Is what you want, if is what you want in life worth changing, then make a change. If it's not, go ahead and keep it. You know, we think about different things. I can think about many things right now that I would say, you know, I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I made that change. You know, I gave up sugar. And I didn't think I could do it. I dream about it all the time. No, I don't. I don't even miss it. And I gave up coffee. Can you believe it? I drink coffee since I was like a baby. No, when I was a teenager, I learned to be a coffee drinker because, you know, whatever. I went to jail, whatever. But I learned to be a coffee drinker all my life. I drink coffee all my life as a teenager, you know, a young adult. Old adult, and in my senior's years. Now, and I gave up coffee. And they said, oh, you go through such excruciating pain, headaches, and jitters, and you'll have to go to treatment and everything. But I don't miss coffee. But, you know, I might drink one time, but right now I'm not going to drink it. I made a decision for me. And I slept all night last night. I didn't have any coffee. I didn't have to go to the bathroom either. So that's one good thing. So we pay a price for anything that's worth changing. We all must take our cross and move ahead. The cross represents death, dying, suffering. We all die to the old and come to the new. Many fear losing approval of other people and their opinions. Others fear of losing their reputation and stature in the world where they live. But you need, if it's worth changing, change it. I remember as a young man when I quit drinking, I was afraid, what are my friends going to think? I don't go to bars anymore. And if I say no, what they're going to think about me? And when I got born again, I went to church. I was afraid to tell my friends I was going to church now. And when I went to treatment, they said, Roma, you got to continue to go to meetings. And they bought me this big book, a big blue book, and I'd be carrying that on the bus. And when I saw a friend, put it behind my back. Where are you going? Nowhere. But anything worth the change is worth doing, right? So some of you say, well, you know, church is too far for me. Well, if it's worth it, you're going to come here. Amen? So others fear losing reputation. The loss of friends is something we all have to face in life. We have to lose our social status sometimes, our community, a place in the community, because we make changes in our lives. We lose time. You know, somebody says, you know, people fear lose time. Loss of money, finances can hinder changes. Your place and portion in life, your status can change. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will come in your life. Matthew 6:33, God's will is a priority. It's number one. When you give up because you think it's too big and too much, you better ask yourself, is what Jesus said, is that true? So the Master, Jesus, Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So quickly, Israel, I'm not going to explain it all. Israel refused to change. They couldn't leave Egypt. They left Egypt, but didn't leave Egypt in their hearts. They said, I want to go back to Egypt. But they had nothing to go back to. They didn't own even themselves. They were owned. They were property. They had no money. They were slaves. And yet they still wanted to go back. So they refused to change. They couldn't get Egypt out of their hearts. And the pressures of whatever they're going, they wanted to go back to the old ways. It wasn't easy living in the bondage, but they went back. They want to go back to it. They were slaves in poverty. In Exodus 16:3, here's what they said in Exodus 16:3. If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they moan. And there we sat around in pots filled with meat and ate all bread we wanted, but now you brought us into this wilderness to starve, to death here. So sometimes, you know, we ask ourselves when we're changing, we're going through struggles in life, we question God. Why did you bring me to Thunder Bay? To freeze? Right? Where's the Pastor Dave? Did you bring me here to go broke? You know, he talks about God bringing him, you know, from the land of milk and honey in London, Ontario, where he had all the grains and meats he can eat and all the shops he could have, you know. Is he gone? He's here somewhere. Oh, he's under there. Okay. Anyway. But he moved here. Anyway, like the Israelites, many long for the old ways. Egypt represented the old, and of course, in Numbers 15, they said, we remember the fish we used to eat. In Numbers 11:5. We used to eat that, and we used to eat, it says in here in NLT, we remember the fish we used to eat free in Egypt. Everybody wants free fish. We had all the cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions and garlic we wanted. They remembered all the food and the little pleasures they had, and they wanted to go back. And so anyway, we won't finish this today. The Galatians were free, but they want to go back to the law. They want to go back to the law. They don't have to. Like, I think about it right now. You know, I come from a religious background. I come from a church background, but also come from a cultural background where they practice certain religious things. In my church, I don't have to have holy water. I don't have to go to a church. I don't have to do all these religious things anymore. I don't have to do some of these things. I don't have to go to an elder. I don't have to go to a priest for God to talk to. I talk to God myself. I don't need no elder. I'm an elder myself. I talk to myself. I don't have to splash on holy water and go to the, I'm almost afraid to say certain things because I don't want any backlash from people. Because I have to explain things. People say, why don't you take the smudge? Well, I don't have to take the smudge. I already smudged this morning when I got up. I smudged myself with the blood of Jesus this morning. Amen. Sometimes people misunderstand me, but I don't want to go back to the law. I'm free. I'm free. And so, different things I used to do as a Christian. You know, my mom taught us, we gotta pray the rosary. That's the only way we'll get this miracle. It was hard praying rosary. I told you the time when my mom was praying, we got kids, get around here. And we would go all around her bed and she'd be praying the rosary. And she would pray in Ojibwe, in Cree. Like this, she'd be praying, you know. And I didn't understand fully, but as a kid, and we kids would just mess around and everything would laugh at each other and, you know, whatever way my mom would pronounce it, we'd laugh. But this is us having fun with our mother. And so my mom fell asleep. And there was a crucifix on top. And everybody was just falling asleep like this.